Welcome back to another episode of the Illinois Agronomy Roundup. I'm Troy Kazire here at the Bear Crop Science Learning Center in Monmouth, Illinois. And today we've got Daniel Lundeen with us. Daniel is a technical agronomist with Channel. And Daniel, thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, thanks, Troy.
Why don't you start off with here, why don't you tell us a little bit about what a TA is, a technical agronomist, what your role is and kind of where your geography kind of lays.
Well, my role with the Channel brand, so my role is really training our dealer force, which we call our seedsmen, and they're out in our customers' fields. So my seedsmen, I train them on product and ongoing agronomic issues and things like that. So they're kind of my feet on the ground and providing insight back to me, and I take that insight, kind of disperse it amongst our team of seedsmen and other agronomists. So that's kind of my role with a TA with Channel. And my area, I cover the northwestern part of Illinois, which for me means the state line west of I-39 and down to about, I call it Route 116. And that's, I guess, my version of what northwestern Illinois looks like.
Yeah. We have lines drawn over the map, don't we? It's always, we got a lot of folks out there in the field and within the TA roles and the TDR roles, and we've tried to have a lot of variety of guests on here and kind of trying to learn a little bit more about what they do. And so we brought you here today, kind of try to do I guess you could call it a mid-season update or a late-season update, depending on when the crop was planted. So it's a pretty big difference in planting dates this year, as we all know. But what are kind of some of the issues at the top of your mind right now that we need to be thinking about?
Yeah, I think the biggest issue locally, within the Monmouth radius, and even, I guess you'd say, most of my area is stretched into that abnormally dry. If you look at the drought monitor, abnormally dry, and released here on Thursday, actually hit the D1 status of being in an official drought in some areas. So, that has pretty good implications when you reach that level in August, mid August. So that means you've been dry throughout July and impacting pollination potentially, and now impacting grain fill. So yeah, that's top of mind.
Well, that's right, and we do it. We've got a mix of stuff pollinating out there and stuff that's fairly well in the grain fill and kind of everything in between. So I know here at the farm we've had we had two tents on July 1st, and since then we've had less than half an inch here, so obviously dry. But it is kind of interesting, we had all that rain early. There is some subsoil moisture out there, but we still see a lot of this corn, man. 10 o'clock in the morning, it's only 80 degrees out and it's already rolling up. What do you think's happening with some of those fields out there?
Well, it's not good. I'll say that. If you think about back to the spring and some of those fields and what went on with planting, I don't remember too many phone calls I got where somebody told me it was excellent conditions. A lot of the phone calls were talking about calendar dates, and we're talking about, is it fit enough to go out there? And I think that's where some of the problems could start. Yeah. with root development. And even on the best planted fields in April, they didn't go through a very good emergence window. They had 4, 5, 6 weeks in the ground before they started to emerge in root growth. And, that impacts all kinds of different things with that root system. And I think that's really shown up in even some of the better fields that were planted in April. But definitely in the June fields that were mudded in ahead of the rain, we never did end up getting because everybody was trying to beat an insurance date.
Yep.
And, those go out and dig some of those roots. If you can get your spade in the ground, those roots are not in good shape, not very deep either.
Yeah, and we've been doing that, a lot of that here at the Learning Center, been digging a lot of roots, and you tend to see a lot of what we call those hatchet roots just growing right down into the furrow and not able to branch out, and even some of those brace roots that normally go down into the ground, they hit that about upper half inch and just stop and kind of branch out, and so really, really restricted root growth, and we're seeing that in the fields rolling up, and we've also seen You know, one of the things I've noticed driving around, and especially the outside edges of the field, you see a lot of potassium deficiency this year.
Yeah, you know that potassium, you got to have the right root structure, number one, to take it in, and got to have moisture to get it moving throughout the plant. And once you lose one or two or both of those things, you're going to start to see that deficiency show up. And that's really just a telltale sign, too, that you're in a severe water-limited environment. That's kind of one driving around easy to see first thing that shows up.
Yep, yep. Yeah, restricted roots, lack of water, and the outside edges of the field get about a half a rate of fertilizer, too.
Right.
And so, yeah, you just see it. You really see it firing up all over the place in both corn and soybean fields. So yeah, obviously going back, it really does go back to those planting conditions, and that's not the only thing that we're keeping an eye on. We're also, you know, kind of keeping an eye on some different diseases that we're seeing develop out there. So what's got your eye right now?
Well, before the water shut off, you know, gray leaf spot was rolling pretty early. It had great conditions to go, plenty of moisture, and kind of really took off in April planted corn up until I'd call it about the second week of July, once we started to really get drier and that disease kind of fizzled out. There's a chance of showers coming through here this weekend, which has the potential to keep gray leaf moving, and it's definitely infected the June corn. It just hasn't moved up quite as much on the plant. So, you know, there's a potential there if you get a good rainfall that could still make a management decision to spray fungicide to help with gray leaf. Another disease that's really been a non-starter and was huge to talk about last year was tar spot. It has shown up, it just hasn't really lined up to show up at the right time with the right weather pattern. There's definitely counties and fields with it in it, but it just hasn't really blown up quite yet. And the corn's moved along far enough, in my opinion, that you're not going to see that quite a yield impact with that we saw last year, the 30-some plus bushel yield impact from that disease coming in prior to tassel last year. And, you know, this year it's just not quite there at the levels it was last year. So those are the predominantly two diseases we've been seeing. You guys have talked here a lot about Physoderma too, and that's out there, and haven't yet seen it move into the nodes yet, so that's encouraging.
Yeah, that's good, definitely. Yeah, and I think that's, you know, if if you want to try to find a silver lining in all of this, you know, it's that this heat and drought really has kind of knocked back that disease development. I mean, if we'd have had some humid, dewy mornings, and like you said, we still could, right? We get these rains this weekend, and we start seeing some humidity and some dew in the mornings. We could see some of this stuff flare up.
Yeah, it could. It's still out there. It's just moving at a slower pace. And, you know, people that have sprayed April, May, or June corn, maybe like, oh, did I make a bad decision? Well, no, that's not what we're saying either. It's all about, you know, what's that fungicide application adding? It's adding, you hope it adds yield potential. It's going to prevent some disease from spreading, and it's also going to add what might be super important this year is late season standability.
Yeah.
You know, we've been walking through some worst case scenarios with some large operators that have quite a bit of June corn, and you get into late October, early November, you do not know when your last day is before it snows. So standability this season could be huge.
Exactly. No, you and I were talking before we started recording this here that, you know, we always tell people to scout, but man, this year we really mean it. It's like you said, there's still some potential for something to flare up if we get the humidity, you know, and wet mornings. You know, there's a fair amount of Physoderma out there, which we don't worry too much about that robbing yield, but if it does move into the nodes, we can start to see some stalks breaking off, and then we really got to start prioritizing some of these fields, right?
That's right.
Which ones we're going to get into and harvest first. What about beans as far as disease pressure? What are you seeing out there?
Surprisingly, been very little disease in soybeans. Starting to see some septoria working, but it seems kind of normal too as the canopies have closed up in most situations. Seeing those lower leaves senesce and bringing in some septoria. But aside from that, really not been too much in the way of soybean disease, which is really good. You don't want dry weather on soybeans, but given the right time and limiting disease in that canopy, could pay off if we get a good amount of rain here in the next few weeks.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and you mentioned the word canopy, and that's another thing too. I don't know if there's a 30-inch field of beans that has canopied anywhere, and that extra airflow, I think, has helped, in addition to the hot and dry weather, the extra airflow through the canopy, has, it's not good for weed control, but certainly does help with disease pressure. Yeah, we've seen the same thing here at the farm, just very little disease at all. So yeah, what are you thinking? I know everybody's asking about yield potential, and of course it's all over the map. The USDA gave us their opinion earlier this week, and I think it's fair to say opinions vary. we got some stuff that's still just tasseling and pollinating, and we got some stuff that's well into grain fill. So what are your what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a pretty hard question to answer. I think it's a hard question to answer even the last 2 or 3 years, where we just know that we've got a pretty good crop and we try to do yield estimates and still come up. I've been next to combines doing yield estimates and I'm still off. So the way you figure them's pretty straightforward, except when you get to that kernel factor, and that's really what we're going to be talking about more this year, is probably a more normal kernel factor of that 90,000 and maybe even up into the 95s or 100,000 per bushel. But I think a grower's really got to think about overall that field, what it went through, what kind of stand he has out in that field. A lot of the April corn I've walked in, the stands really aren't what you'd hope to have, and lost quite a few thousand to weather there, sitting in the ground for that 4 to 6 weeks. Kernel counts are pretty good.
Yeah.
But what's this grain fill period going to do for us? And we need sunny days along with some rain. We got to have enough to get recharged and then have sunny days. And that's probably more true with the June corn. I feel like every cloudy day for that June corn is a bigger yield penalty than the April corn, just because it's going to have way less time to fill grain. But kernel counts on the June corn they're very high.
Yeah.
And stands are better. So just kind of more worried about the compressed grain fill and what that might do for final kernel weights, and maybe we'll see smaller kernels out of that.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so many things, like everything that we've been talking about, right? That root restriction, not being able to get the water it needs, and just that heat and the dry weather, we're really going to start stressing here as we progress through this grain fill, unless we get some decent rains. The temperatures have been fairly moderate, and that helps. You don't want those really hot nights, and we haven't had them lately. But looking at the 10-day forecast, it is going to heat up again, and if we don't have the water to go with it, that could cause some tip back and some pretty light kernels, if it stays in that pattern.
Yeah, the crop right now today is the April corn is right at that dough stage.
Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of just right in the area there, tipping back and affecting kernel weights, and it's a fairly critical time for that development of that ear. So
yeah,
if it doesn't rain, Troy, we can dial those expectations back even more, I think. But you're always like that every year, though. You're hoping for a rain at the right time or something to happen to keep your yield expectations high.
This is just one of those years we haven't had. We've usually got some leeway, and this year we don't have it.
That's right.
Were planted so late and under kind of poor conditions, and we needed a lot of help from Mother Nature, and we really haven't gotten it. And so it's going to be interesting to see. And then with that late planting, we've done quite a bit of look at development, right? And corn it'll develop more quickly. So those later maturities they're making up some of those lost heat units, but that gets you to black layer sooner than you would normally expect, and it takes away from some of that frost risk, but it also takes away from some of that yield potential too when it's developing that much more quickly. There's a lot of variables out there. It's going to be interesting to see where we end up.
It's definitely been busy year, one for the record books. So there's always been something different to do every day.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hey, Daniel, thanks for coming in. Really appreciate it, and we'll keep in touch and see how the rest of the season progresses.
You bet. Thanks, Troy.
Yep. Thanks to everyone for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Illinois Agronomy Roundup.